Hello, everybody. This is Premier Chess CEO, National Master Evan Rabin. Very excited to be here on episode 265 of the Premier Chess Podcast, where every week we interview great chess professionals, business coaches, attorneys, other types of entrepreneurs, really anyone who has found a passion in whatever it is that they do. This week we have a very talented young 16-year-old, Devin Wolwend, who honestly has done more than most adults my age that I know, frankly. He was actually a few weeks ago on my friend Rena's podcast, Better Call Daddy. Rena, some of you might remember, has been on the show previously. I was also on her podcast in the past, and I truly was just blown away when I saw his appearance. He literally started investing when he was age five with a Lego set, something he's talked about many, many times, but I'm sure we'll repeat it on this episode. But now he's 16. He's actually the COO of his family business, Clear Sky Realty. He owns, I believe, over 40 units. He's actually written four books. He's talked at many real estate and other types of events. He also runs a radio show. He's done legitimately more than most adults I know. So great to have you on. How's everything going?
It's going very well. Thank you very much for having me on here today. I also thank you for the for saying how much you appreciate my podcast with Rena. That one was a very fun show, and I'm very excited to be on here.
You better call daddy. just I always love the name of her show as well. It's like just
It's
so
very
cool,
interesting, and
and now
also
how
it's
her dad
great.
comes in on the end, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it has all about her family, which is one of the big things my entire family promotes is having a strong family. We are literally the Real Power Family. That's the name of our radio show, and a lot of our branding is we are trying to bring the family together, and we've seemed to do that with our family. We want to help other people do the same, among doing other things.
Incredible, incredible. So, I guess to start out, just wanted to ask you, I guess, yeah, I wanted to ask you, how'd you get started? What inspired you? Literally age five, right? Most people are thinking about what toy to play with, that day, but you're thinking about, how to invest money.
Yeah,
Can you tell us like how that came about?
my parents have been investing for a long time. Well, longer than I've been alive. So to me, that's at least a long time. And so I grew up around business and investing. And they also never gave me an allowance. If I wanted to buy something, I had to make the money for it. And eventually I thought, hey, you know what? Sure, I can make money by, say, working for one of their companies or whatever, but, well, frankly, I don't like working a lot, and I hear about this investing thing that they've frequently been talking about and I've been learning about for as long as I've been alive, because they were also teaching me some of the stuff, even if it's just a little thing here, a little thing there, and or turning some of the lessons they were teaching into games, which I can talk about in a little bit if you want. But they
Yeah,
were
absolutely.
teaching me some about that, and I was just like, you know what? I can make some money. I can do something that I've learned a lot about, and maybe it'll end up being fun. Yeah, let's try doing that. And so I went up to my dad and told him, hey, Dad, I think it's time that I should start investing. What can I invest in? And he told me to invest in what I knew. And the one thing I knew at the time was Legos. So that's what I found a way to invest in.
And so to take it to the next level, because the truth is, I know we work with, kids in 80 schools, including some of the most richy private schools around. I know many parents who are, into finance, investing, different types of, hedge funds, private equity, banks, et cetera. We also, run some classes at Citigroup and a private equity firm in New York. They all have kids, but at the end of the day, they're not investing. Just after talking to a high school student the other day, whose dad is a partner at Goldman Sachs, and didn't really know much about it. He's also a high school student, who's actually, yeah, I guess I think exactly your age, actually, plus or minus like a year. But so what made you like, say, hey, mommy and daddy, teach this to me. Is this something that, like I want to actually do myself, as a kid?
Well, for me, they had started out by taking me to their weekly real estate meetings. They had a breakfast meeting that we had every Wednesday morning, which eventually turned into a dinner. But they brought me there every week, even since I was in a baby carrier. And they brought me there. So I grew up around a lot of it. And then the second major thing is they made it more fun for me. Like when they were teaching me things, they taught me the fun side of things, or they turned it into a game, or they showed me, hey, here's the benefits behind this. A problem I think a lot of people, or something I think a lot of people mess up when raising their kids, is they try and show them all of the work. They show them the things, hey, you have to do this, you have to work here. Whereas my parents showed me a lot more of, hey, here's all of the freedom we get, the fun things we can do because of business. And I think that's what really showed me, hey, you know what? I can do this and my life will be a lot better. I'll have a lot more fun in life, which was really why I was focused on. I mean, I was 5 at the time of me wanting to start investing. So it was, hey, I want to have more fun. This can let me have more fun, not just now, but for the rest of my life. Yeah, I want to do more of that. It
Yeah,
was.
so yeah, I mean, look, I think that's so cool, and I definitely I'm inspired. I have a 9-month-old daughter, and I really want to get her into what the business is like, early on. I feel like she's getting some biosis. She's definitely with me, all the time when I'm, recording podcast episodes, doing phone calls, et cetera. I'm sure she's getting, some of it by osmosis. But, honestly, hearing your story a little bit, inspired me to, want to
Yeah,
teach her,
show her the.
at
Yeah,
least a
make.
little bit early on,
Yeah, feel free to show her this show. Say, hey, there's other people that are doing this. You can do it too. One great thing my parents did, or should I say, didn't do, is they didn't limit my beliefs. They told me that I could do anything. And when I actually want to do something or try to do something, like, for example, wanting to invest at a very young age, they said, sure, you may have to figure out a creative way to do it, and you absolutely can. A lot of people, or from what I hear at least, plenty of people say, hey, you can be anything. But if they actually say, hey, I want to do this crazy thing, then the parents are like, well, be more reasonable. That's unlikely. And my parents, hey, mom, dad, I want to start investing. What can I invest in? And they're like, well, and they were slightly confused, or at least unsure, because they weren't expecting it. And they helped me in as much as they could so that I could do something that pretty much no one else has heard of, and investing at that young age. And that continued with a lot of the things that I've done since then. It's just they gave me the ability. They never really held me back. So it just ended up where I was doing more and more. And they were like, yeah, that's great. You do that. And then I become more successful. They're happy with me. I get ahead in whatever I'm working on, and it all works out. And then that just repeats over and over, and here I am.
Amazing. And I think one thing that is incredible again is just how you've learned so much early on. And honestly, recently I've actually seen, I think, more parents getting kids involved in their businesses early on. A couple weeks ago I went to actually, I'm not particularly in real estate, but a lot of people I know are. My brother's actually, Alex Raven is an investor. He owns 46 building, more than that now. Him and his partners in New York. He owns P Capital Advisors in New York, and I know many other people in it. But yeah, I went to a networking event that my friend Giselle Abrantes put on, actually with another friend, Samuel Wiener, who's a big title person. Consider using him. He's been on our podcast before, actually. But the reason I bring it up is, Giselle's two kids were there, and at first that. Frankly, I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Her kids are here. usually don't go to a networking meeting and kids are there, but they're also, yeah, a little bit older. But now you're telling me you were there at like five, going to like similar meetups and meetings and events. And honestly, especially like a few minutes in, I actually started talking to her son and daughter for a while, and I was like, wow, they're adults. Comparing them honestly to like some of the students in some of our school programs. I'm not knocking any one of our programs, of course, but
Yeah, it's
you just
just
see that
there's
like there are kids that they're kids. Her kids, look, once they got to know me, sure, I was hanging out with them as kids, as well. But I just we were actually doing this geography exercise. I don't even know how we came up with it, but I know. Giselle said, "Oh yeah, Evan likes to travel. He's been to like many countries. Yeah, I've been to 27 countries." And we actually started this game where literally I would show him a photo, and he would guess the country, and he got like most of them correct. And by the way, it wasn't even necessarily like Taj Mahal. Like some of it was just like literally a random street, and he would like.
Yeah,
Tell
I
me the
think
country.
there's
I was like
something
blown
out
away.
there where people are like, there's a group of people or something that's very good at that. I don't know much about them, but there are some people that are very good at that. So if they suddenly get kidnapped and moved to a different, a random part of the world, they can figure out where they're at. I'm not sure how they'd get home, but they can figure out where they are. Either way, so yeah, there's for, back to the meeting and the kids there. There isn't a whole lot of people that are like that advanced, which makes the ones that are more special. And there's getting to be, at least from what I'm seeing, more and more people that are like young people that are acting professional or doing things in business or any of that. And maybe I'm just seeing more and more because I'm looking for them, but either way, kids, when they are brought up fairly well, trained to be professional, they can absolutely be very professional at those type of meetings. And it's just, what do you train them to do? They are. Babies when they're born are pretty much a blank slate. You can raise them to be rich or successful or professional or anything of that nature. And you can also train them to be the opposite of each of those. It's all about what do you train them, what do you teach them, who do they spend time around? Like I said, I spend a lot of time at investment meetings more and more as I've gotten older. And that means that I'm around that type of person, the professional, the investor, the people that frequently dress nicer, as I'm sure you can see today. All of that, I'm around the people that I became more like. And it's just, I think there's a quote from someone, I don't remember who, that says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time around. to figure out how you can spend time around higher level people and you'll become that higher level person.
Yeah, and like you said before, I think it's about artificial barriers, and removing them. My good friend Michael Deutsch, who's actually our first podcast guest, he always likes to say, control the controllables, and not have limiting beliefs.
Fair
Every
enough.
single time I tell him, oh yeah, I can't do something or this is going to be difficult, he's like, nope, that's a limiting belief. And a lot of the time it's correct.
Yeah,
When
really.
I first started the company, actually, or before I started the company, I actually had this thing. I told my dad, like, oh yeah, all the schools in New York that like want to have chess programs already have chess programs. And he was like, what? And then sure enough, I quickly realized that, for one, there's a whole country, and now we are actually like nationwide. We run programs all over. But, even in New York, yes, some of the schools have chess programs, but, and yes, most of the schools, honestly, in Manhattan, for instance, have been reached out to, actually. But even then, there were some schools that, we were able to start partnerships with, in Manhattan. But then, if you look at Brooklyn, you look at Queens, I have, and further, I had all these schools like thank me like crazy when I reached out to them saying, oh, we never got even approached, about chess before.
Exactly.
It was all just, a limiting belief, so.
Everything is under your control. And when you take full responsibility, like, hey, that's my fault, and I can change this. I can change anything about my life. I can make anything about it better. Then you become unlimited. You can go anywhere. And I grew up with a lot less of those, hey, I can't do this. And so I ended up doing a lot more. I'm sure I still have some. Although a lot of the ones that I found, I have eliminated those. And so I can go even further. And you just do that over and over, and you just end up doing a lot more. When
Incredible.
you want to succeed and you say, I can succeed and I will succeed, frequently you find a way to succeed.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Again, it's just, and also it's just, look, it's a matter of being, a little untraditional.
Yeah,
And
be creative.
and that's a good thing, moving forward, and yeah, like I saw that actually a few weeks ago too. I taught a private lesson actually last week, that to a kid, and he's like yourself, actually 2 years younger at 14, but he's helping his parents, Michael and Bea, run their family business. They actually do gem appraisals and sales. They were in New York, so the dad could take him around, the Diamond District, and last week and just run the business. Actually, it's funny because that happened like maybe 2 days after I heard your interview with Rena, and then yeah, afterwards I immediately messaged Rena like, this is like incredible, and
Yeah.
she asked if I'd want to be introduced to us. Not even a question, let's go. Of
Yeah,
course,
that.
so.
But that sounds awesome, hearing another kid, even if he's in a totally different industry. Having someone else that's interested in this. And by the way, I'd like to get his phone number or something. I'd like to connect with him. I think that would be interesting to talk to him about what he's doing, if at all possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I will make a little bit of a side note, to make that happen.
Awesome.
Of
Thank you very
course.
much. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I think, again, like the young entrepreneurs, is just, yeah. I mean, like I said, re really important. And, I know, I remember you actually talking about, you've mentored, a couple other entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, et cetera. Hey, and I consider myself young myself, but and not on your level, so
I mean,
for sure. So but of course you're always young.
yeah, I mean, really, a lot of that comes down to the attitude of how young do you think you are? Because I've met 90-year-olds that are in better shape and are in my opinion, mentally younger than some 60-year-olds.
Oh,
So it's.
absolutely. I mean that's my grandma. It's 94 and all the time. In fact it's actually, relatively often actually, I hear someone much younger, than I've been, oh, I'm like, you're so young. I'm like, oh, I'm like, no. My grandma's 94, she's driving every day. she's, again, limiting beliefs.
What I've found is a lot of things in life, whether it's business, whether it's health, whether it's mentality, all of that frequently comes down to your mindset. It's all about your mind. What are your beliefs? What are the things that your brain believes to be true? What are the things you tell yourself? And I'm sure there's plenty more to that. I'm not an expert, but setting up your mindset in the right way so that you can become more successful. There's a reason that if you took away everyone's money in the world, then people would be back about where they were in under 5 years. If billionaires would be back to billionaire status or probably close to it, and people that were poor, even if they won the lottery, they're frequently back where they were or worse within about 5 years. So it's all about your mind, where the things that you know, the people that you know, what is your mindset, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's all in, what you think. Think positive and life is good. Of course. So, yeah, no, that is very real. So, yeah, I guess and especially in response to what you said earlier, I think one thing that I think is important is yes, teaching the things that you don't learn in school, finances, a lot of people, my age, right, still are, figuring things out, of course. So, actually my friend, Julie Post, I just thought of, she, is a tutor in New York, but she also, has started doing, a lot of financial literacy, and actually kind of doing some of the things you're talking about, actually coming up with games to and exercises to teach financial planning to kids. But yeah, how did you learn at an early age, and what made it kind of click?
I can't see that there's a one thing that made it click. A lot of the things I was talking about earlier, making it fun, showing benefits, was a lot of the things that got me interested. And then it was just over time, I'm reading a lot of things about investing. I am going to meetings. I am working in my parents' company. I'm doing some of my own stuff, like investing in that Lego set for my first thing. A couple years later, I started actually buying real estate. And through all of it, it's just I'm learning more and more lessons through all of this stuff. And I just did more and more. Wasn't one moment it clicked. There's a couple of times where there's one moment I made a decision to start something and that turned into something much bigger. And it's just kind of slowly, it built up over time. Things don't happen overnight. We hear about overnight successes, and yet those people frequently work years to become a quote overnight success. I'm an overnight success. Only took 8 years is one thing I actually said at one point in time is just you work for a long time and frequently it doesn't seem like you're getting very far, and eventually you do succeed, sometimes faster than others, and sometimes it just the little things build up over time and you eventually quote make it, whatever you define that to be, which is probably different for every person out there.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, again, it's important lessons to know, and just good to be creative and ahead of the curve, of course. So let's switch more into how you got started in real estate. So for one, I just want to get this right. You basically individually own like 40 buildings now.
Yeah.
Or could you, I just want to fact check here, because it seems like almost like too good to be true almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to get specific, I own companies that all together, my portion or whatever, is 48 units.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I will pretty much go with, I own those and I control those. So yeah, I own those and have bought them just over time. Once again, that's one of those things that's just I've slowly bought those over the past, wow, coming up on 10 years.
Wow.
And I own those, and those give me cash flow that will pretty much just even if I never bought any more, which I will buy more,
Of course.
but even
You
just
never
with
stop.
those waiting those. Are paying those off, then that will be enough for me to live a fairly comfortable life. And I'm
Wow.
gonna end up buying more because, whoever wants to be regular or just comfortable, why not be extraordinary? So
Wow.
that's what I'm probably gonna do.
Well, I don't think I know another 16-year-old or even those like 33-year-old like myself that can just say, yeah, like I pretty much have enough to essentially not work again if I wanted to, and be okay for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
That's pretty crazy.
and I gotta pay some of them off for before I can fully retire, I guess you could call it. And I'm
Yeah,
still I have the buildings, and it's a matter of time. Once again,
wow.
adding in, if you can wait for things, then that can certainly help you in business, like being able to do something for a longer period of time. It's one of the great reasons, or one of the great things about me starting early, or you starting even as young as you are. Any of the young people out there, if they get started now, then they can do things and they can wait a lot longer for something to pay off. And that means that you can you can do much different things, and it can benefit you in a lot of ways. A couple of my deals, it's, hey, this won't make a whole lot of money right now. It might not make any right now. And in 10, 15, 20 years, it will be making a lot of money. I can wait for that. I'm a teenager. Some people can't or won't wait for it. So that limits them there. That's a semi-real limitation. And so it's get started now, especially if you're young, even if you're older, whatever you want to define that as, get started now so that you can take advantage of every minute you have, because time is one thing that you can never buy more of. It's the one thing that is absolutely limited. There is no way to create more of it.
Wow. And I guess one thing that I've already talked about a little bit about you to one of our high school students at our program, Grace Church School, one of our bigger programs. And I was just honestly using you to inspire him a bit. Like I feel like he was not thinking about his career enough yet. And like, look, on one hand, he's very young. He's 15, 16, like yourself. He doesn't necessarily like have to, right? And I know, honestly, a large majority of the high school students that we talk to are not necessarily thinking about their career so much yet. Even a lot of students in college, right? I'm talking to them, and they're like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out right now. I'm concerned about the degree, but So,
I
speaking of which, I believe you're also in college now, at the same
yeah
time,
I
or
I'm in college, have been for years, taking like going pretty much full time now. I just graduated high school, and yeah, I'm doing that not because I think a degree will really help me, just because I needed to get a certain certification that I need to fully take over a certain business. But really, can I essentially give a message here, and then you pass it along to whatever that kid was that you were trying to inspire or get moving?
Absolutely, please.
And this can work for any, probably any other teenager in a similar circumstance, but really start now, get started early, even if you have time to figure out what you want to do with your life. If you start now and you try and you are at least trying different things, saying, hey, what do I want to do? What am I passionate about? What am I good at? And figure out how you can turn that into a job, a business, something that you can make money with or help people or whatever your real goal is. Figuring out what you want to do early will allow you to do a lot more of that. If you're helping people, you can help a lot more people. If you're making money, you can make a lot more money, and altogether can work a lot better. Also, if you're talking about going to college, figure out why do you want to go to college? I know I want to go to college because I need an associate's degree to get a broker's license to like the company I'm currently running, to fully take it over, which I'm probably eventually going to do for my parents. I need a broker's license, which, like I just mentioned, I need a degree to get, and I only need an associate's degree, so that's all I'm getting. I have no illusion that I know that that's never going to help me with, it's probably not going to help me with anything else, because even if that would help me get a job, I don't think I'm ever going to have a real job. I want to run businesses. So that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to climb the corporate ladder. I'm going to build the corporate ladder. And then other people can climb it. Either way, that's why I went into it. I know that enough, and so I can figure out, hey, this is what I want to do for college. Nothing more, nothing less. If you want to do something that doesn't require a college degree, don't waste your time, energy, and money. If you instead take that 2 years or 4 years or whatever it is that you would spend going to college, and instead spend that at getting internships or actually working in that area, then you can make it a lot further than that degree would get you. And there are some things that you need a degree for. Like I mentioned, the thing I want to do, if you want to become a doctor, if you want to become a lawyer, if you want to become, I think, an accountant, all of those, I believe you do need a degree to get. And there are a lot of jobs that you don't need that for. So figure out what you want to do and what you actually need to do to get there. It's just find out what your end goal is. Then figure out what is the most efficient path to get to that. And that part applies to both the adults and the kids and everywhere in between.
Yeah, I think you raised an important point, and I like how you're very strategic about your career. I think especially in this country, it's definitely pretty much like almost looked down upon a little bit, essentially, if you're not going to college, of course. And look, I did have a great college experience, at Brandeis University, graduated cum laude, and I did spend several years in corporate America before I, moved on. And yes, I did study business in school, and I'm very grateful for that. And look, I do actually use a lot of what I learned, in business, now. Some of my professors, including Grace Zimmerman, for instance, who runs most of the marketing classes at Brandeis, still talk to, quite regularly. As a mentor. So yeah, there's definitely a value there. But I think it goes with what we were saying before too, that you want to do the path that's right for you. One of my closest friends, Ariel Danyavka, is a software engineer, Now at Bloomberg, he's previously been at Amazon, Microsoft, many other big companies. He's I always forget actually that he's self-educated. Did not go to college, which okay, he's Israeli. It's kind of common in Israel not to go to school, but he's been here now for like 11 years. I've known him for 10,
Yeah, I mean,
at this point, like
with,
he's way past college. It doesn't matter, for him.
yeah, I mean, in the United States especially, I think a lot of people, so many people are going and getting college degrees. I think at one point in time, at least from what I hear, what I remember of people talking about, it used to be a lot more special. Not as many people had a degree, so that showed that you were a step above the other people. I'm just talking about getting a job because I think that's what a lot of people want to get a degree for. It's like, this will help me get a job. And in a lot of modern day, so many people have a degree. It's not as special as it used to be, I guess. It, if I see a degree, that doesn't tell me that, hey, you, or at least me as a boss, if I see someone has a degree and they put that on when they want me to hire them or whatever, I see, hey, you went to college, you checked the right boxes. Not, hey, you've done a lot. I can see you're dedicated and motivated. And so it means something very different to people. And yet a lot of people still think it's this will get me a job. I just have to do this and then I'm set for life. And it doesn't seem like it. I'm not sure there's really anything like that that you can do once and then just be set for life. There's some things you can do to, probably have a lot better life, but there is certainly no guarantees.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's why, it's unfortunate, but you see a fair amount of people with law degrees, that are, cab drivers, for instance. It's such a, pretty common thing in New York, which is like, a little bit bizarre, but yeah, you see it all the time. I know
I
many,
think.
just professionals who actually have, yes, college degrees that they don't use whatsoever. Of course. So yeah, and definitely see that all the time.
Yeah, I think my dad hired a drywaller or something one time that had a degree, maybe a very significant degree. I don't remember exactly offhand, but it was in like economics or something. And just you spent all of that time getting that, and what did it get you? Not much. So think about what is actually going to benefit you, and what do you need to get the most efficient path to your goal? Not going out and doing these other things, but if you spend 4 years to get a degree and yet it only speeds your career up by 1 or 2 years, that still wasn't worth it. Think about what is the return on investment to bring in investing to all this. What are these things actually getting you? And that goes not just for degrees, but everything else you do. How much time, energy, or money am I going to put into this, and how much am I going to get back out? That's really the key to everything. You figure out how you can figure that out and make good decisions with that, and you'll be doing pretty well, I think.
Yeah, amazing. And return on investment obviously is important in anything that you do, of course. And I think one thing to consider is how actually after every single move actually I say you should be able to get the biggest return on investment possible. And a lot of players who are a little less experienced, they'll be a little bit too satisfied actually with just making a decent move. So sometimes I'll ask a beginner, oh, why'd you do this move? And they'll say, oh, well, it was because it was a safe move, but that doesn't mean it's a good move. That just means it's safe.
Exactly. Yeah.
That just means Or why'd you make this trade? Oh, well, it's a fair trade, night for night. I'm like, okay, that's great. That doesn't tell me why you did it. That just means it's decent.
Just because something is safe or comfortable does not mean it's what you really want. If something is, even if it is safe, but it doesn't get you any further to your goal, or it moves you further away from your goal, or at least what you actually want in life, then that just, it didn't help you or hurt you. It probably hurt you because how much time did you spend making in chess? You wasted your move to make that safe move rather than doing something that gets you one step closer to winning the game.
Absolutely. So speaking of which, never even asked you, but have you ever had any experience with chess? Have you learned how to play at all?
I've done some chess. I play with my family occasionally. Never anything really professional. I guess I did do fairly well in like a Boy Scout chess tournament thing. But so I'm decent at chess, but I'm definitely no professional. I see people online and whatever today doing crazy moves, and I don't even know what's happening half the time. Either way, oh, and I did, we don't need to talk about me and that other thing, but either way, yeah, I've done a little bit with chess. I understand it a little. I understand all the basics of it, but not some of the nuanced details. And I don't know all the crazy openings and maneuvers and everything. I've made a couple myself, which I'm sure all the professionals know is, oh, hey, that's step one.
Very cool. So tell me, with some test experience, how do you see chess and real estate slash investing maybe relating to each other in some way?
They're both long games where you have to build up, or at least the way I do it, you build up so that eventually you can, it's a slow build up. You move your pieces into the right place until, at the end, you have something set up where you can succeed. In real estate, that's you buy real estate, you have it set up, and eventually it's paid off and you make a lot of money. In chess, that's you've maneuvered your pieces, you've taken out the pieces that don't need to be there or would hinder you, and then you move for checkmate. And there really is a lot of similarities, especially I'm paying if you see someone play chess, they're likely going to be doing similar, like if they're very aggressive in chess, they're probably going to be much more aggressive in other things in life. As I believe it's T. Harv Eker says, how you do anything is how you do everything. How you play chess is probably how you do a lot of things in life, which might be able to tell you something about yourself or about other people. Either way. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think there's definitely a lot of truth to that, and actually, I would encourage you to check out. Just a couple weeks ago, actually, we had actually my elementary school chess friend, Phil Kapolsky, on the podcast, and he actually works with a realty company in Dallas, Texas. But yeah, he was actually talking a lot about actually how your style in chess, might relate to investing in other fields. So yeah, it was quite interesting. That was actually episode 261, so a few episodes before you. So yeah, back in January. So time flies. I felt like it was like a few weeks ago, but 2 months ago. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. So anyway, look, there's so much to talk about, of course, from investing to real estate to chess, et cetera. But we could definitely go, all day. But yeah, it was really great, catching up, talking about investing as a child, artificial barriers, strategy, long-term gains, lots of other ideas about younger people investing and getting into a career. doing all the things that you don't learn in school, of course. So, and yes, most people don't learn business. You know, I'm actually very grateful. At Dwight, I was able to, take a business class, IB business higher level, which really did kind of get my career, going a little bit, in high school. And, I definitely didn't do nearly as much as you, but I did start teaching chess myself at age 12,
But
which was.
you were learning the things that you were good at and you like to do, and you started figuring out, hey, this is how I can get further. This is what I want to focus on. You set something that's at least closer to your goal and you work towards that. And to me, that is great.
Yeah, well, I definitely definitely appreciate that, of course. And look, I would love to inspire other kids to get going, and do something. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like making millions of dollars, but even a lemonade stand, right? Just something, to get going, being an entrepreneur, as a young individual, is important. It's never too late to start.
Exactly.
So, is there anything else you'd like to mention, or any other, words of wisdom, while you're on the podcast?
Really, my main takeaways or main things that I think people should take away from this is go out there, be creative, do something crazy, and take action. You have to take action. Otherwise, all this knowledge doesn't help you, but. And then, if anyone wants to hear more from my family has a radio show where we talk about a lot of similar things, less chess, but more family and business. Every day, yeah, every weekday on our radio show, you can see more details about it at realpowerfamily.com.
Okay, amazing. Well, thanks again. Definitely encourage everyone to check it out. Of course, his radio show will be in the show notes as well. So yeah, you kind of somewhat beat me to the question, but yeah. Also, if anyone wants to reach out, learn more about real estate, your books, speaking engagements, et cetera, how can people get a hold of you?
For my books and everything, you want to learn more from my family, there are links to both my first book, If I Can Do It, So Can You, my second book, The Garage, and my third book, The Fall and Rise of Atlas Gold, all as well as the rest of my family's books on that website, realpowerfamily.com. Radio shows on there if you actually want to contact me or something. I mean, if you know Evan, feel free to talk to him, but anyone can call 1-833-B-DO-HAVE, or you can email info@clearskytrainer.com.
Amazing. And I guess there's last but not least, usually I do just, basically end it here, but could you just tell us for like a second about each of your books and why people should get them?
Well, yeah,
Didn't really
really.
get a chance to talk about your books, so.
Yeah, we didn't talk a whole lot about those, but really, my first book I wrote at and published at 11 years old, all about
Insane.
how I got started in real estate. It talks about a lot of the lessons that I learned, goes over actual stories, actual deals that I have bought, all the way up to my most creative deal where I bought 20% of a 60 unit for $20. And if you want to hear how that happened, If I Can Do It, So Can You. And all of these books are available on Amazon. It's probably the easiest way that you can get them. Then a few years later, I wrote The Garage and The Fall and Rise of Atlas Gold. They're the Atlas Gold series. And it's all about how it's a fictional story for kids and teenagers, but it's meant to inspire them. Hey, here's some basic lessons about business, and really bring that all together, just in a fun way, like my parents did with me, take learning and making it fun. And that's what I've done with these.
Yeah, and I think, thank you for that. And I think that's important with anything, chess, real estate, math, et cetera. One of my friends, Jason Bowie, who started the Philadelphia Chess Society, when I interviewed him, his biggest thing was, if they're not having fun, they're not learning.
Exactly.
One of my coaches, last week actually was, a little stressed almost. He was saying, "Oh, I don't really know, what to do." Like these kids are like taking a while to, learn, some of the stuff, checkmate, stalemate, et cetera. And I literally just abruptly said, like, "Are the kids having fun? Yes. Did they learn a thing or two yesterday? Yes. Okay. It was a great class." And then, okay, I gave them some more ideas after that. But yeah, like number one, right? If they're having fun, they're learning. Then I was telling him, "Oh, well, why don't you, play with him a little bit? He wants to play more." I said, "Oh, well, really, I want to be like teaching him, whatever." I'm like, "No, you got to do what he wants to do. You got to do what's fun for him, and make
Yeah,
that
gotta make it
educational."
fun. And figure out for your kids, figure out what they are interested in and figure out how you can do what they want to do while also say if you want them to be more integrated into your business, figure out how they can do what they like to do while also working and learning about the business. If you can find good ways to get both of those things at the same time, then you can do very well. I mean, my brother, he's much more into the destruction of things. And so when he bought a sixth unit and there was water damage, he got to kick down some of the old drywall that we needed to replace. And he enjoyed that. He was good at that, or semi good at that at least. So he got to do that, and that was more fun for him. And so he was more interested in everything. Same thing, you can do that with a lot of other things. You just have to be creative about it, like I'm frequently saying.
Incredible. Well, thank you a lot, for your time and a lot of great insights. And hopefully this will inspire, really everyone. We do have a large array of listeners, from parents, from educators to some of our kids that learn with us, et cetera. But I really do think there's something for everyone, whether you're a young, kid who could start investing and doing entrepreneurship, or someone who teaches kids, or someone who has kids that could inspire them to do that. So thank you, and look forward to hopefully being in touch soon.
Look forward to talking to you. Thank you.
Take care.